Today for our Friday Forum webinar, we are very excited to welcome back the president and founder of both Global Career Consulting and Placement and Career University, Larry Brayman with Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome and thank you so much for attending today. I'm Larry Brayman, a UVA alum, and I graduated quite some time ago, back in 87, and I want to welcome you to the topic of emotional intelligence. It's a huge, vast topic, and we will be taking some key fundamentals today that I think will help you expand your understanding and also your skills in emotional intelligence, and hopefully your curiosity so that you will dig in deeper to this really important topic. Please have a pen and paper ready. We'll be doing some exercises together, and let's get going. I am a career consultant and executive coach here in Los Angeles. I work with people across the country and sometimes around the world on areas like emotional intelligence, career advancement, teamwork, communications, and it's a real pleasure to be here with you today. We will move on with a story. When I graduated from theater school, Circle in the Square Theater School in New York many years ago as an acting conservatory, my first job out of theater school was, as you can imagine, yes, a waiter. I was a waiter in a restaurant, a seafood restaurant called Fish and Eddie's on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. If anybody remembers it or knows it, please you can drop it in the chat box. It was a while ago. And at Fish and Eddie, we also served not only fish but some pasta. And I had a roommate, his name was Johnny. And Johnny would come in for this pasta that he loved. And this pasta was this delicious, kind of like what you see here. It was a penne in a spicy cream sauce with grilled chicken and roasted vegetables. It was delicious. And whenever Johnny would come in, that's what he'd order. So he came in one late on a Sunday night, and I went up to him, and I said the usual. He said yes. So I put in his order, and a few minutes later, I got the signal that his order was up, and I went into the kitchen, and on the shelf was something that looked like this. It was like some linguine in a wine sauce with a little bit of chicken and a couple of vegetables. And I said to the sous chef, his name was Romy, the chef had the night off. I said to Romy, I said, this is not the pasta that I was expecting. And I know you might be out of some stuff, but my customer, he knows this pasta. He knows what this is supposed to be. And Romy looked at me and he said, take it. Okay. So I went out, I took the pasta, and I put it down in front of my roommate, Johnny, and Johnny looked up at me and he said, what's this? And I said, it's your pasta. And he said, no, it's not. I said, okay. So I picked up the pasta, and I walked back into the kitchen, and I put it on the shelf in between me and the cooking area, and I said, Romy, he doesn't want it. He knows the pasta. It's not the one he wants. And Romy took the bowl in his hands, and he shoved it across the shelf. It flew out at me. It hits me in the leg. Pasta lands on the floor. Bowls cracking, splattering everywhere. And I'm so angry at this point that all I want to do is reach through that shelf and just pop Romy in the nose. But instead, I took a breath, and I walked away. I used my emotional intelligence to get what I wanted in that situation, to get the outcome I needed. As good as it may have felt to punch Romy in the nose, I needed to keep my dignity. I needed to take the high road. I needed to keep my job. If it comes down between a choice between a sous chef and a waiter, no matter who's right in an altercation, who's going to get the boot? The waiter. I got what I needed by using my emotional intelligence. Let me break this down further for you, just really simply. I was aware of an emotional response going on in me. I'm riled up. My adrenaline's flying, right? I made a choice based on that information that was beneficial to me. That's emotional intelligence. That's why we're here today. We can break it down a little bit further. With a couple more in-depth definitions about emotional intelligence, I think you'll get the idea. Emotional intelligence being the intelligent use of your emotions. You make them work for you so that you can enhance your results. Or here, emotional intelligence is a type of social intelligence. It's your ability to monitor your own and others' emotions. So it's not just what's going on in you, it's also monitoring what's going on in other people so it can guide your thinking and your actions. That's emotional intelligence. So let's talk about why this has become such a huge topic these days, for especially in professional life. Emotional intelligence has grown to the extent that they now have a letter, these letters for it, just like IQ. They measure your EQ in assessments. And the reason we're doing this is because we have found that emotional intelligence is a huge and sometimes the most important factor in determining whether or not you will be hired, promoted, fired, advancing in any job, in any professional situation you have. It's often the most important factor. Now, interestingly, EQ, your emotional quotient, versus IQ. IQ, your intelligence quotient, is pretty much, it's fixed, right? There's nothing you can really do about it. You can't raise those points as far as we know. But EQ, the good news is, you can build the skills that can help you become more emotionally intelligent. So that's what we're working on here today, and understanding it, but also build emotional intelligence skills together. Let's start out with a little exercise. I'd like you to imagine that you're on a hiring committee, and you're going to be looking for someone who's going to be joining your team. What are the qualities, the assets that you're looking for in somebody who is joining your team? What are you looking for? What do you need? Sense of humor, attitude, professionalism, team player, good listener, team calmness, respect, humility, skills and character, good listener, thoughtful, deliberate, decision maker, confident, proactive, empathy, teachable, good fit, terrific. Now, what are we noticing about all these things that you're putting in? Are these necessarily aspects of IQs? One person wrote skills, and skills are really important. You have to have the aptitude to do the job. But all these other aspects that we're looking for, ability to handle stress, teachable, humility, all these things that you wrote in the chat box, those are aspects of emotional intelligence, how well you manage yourself, your emotions, and how well you interact with and can read and manage other people. So EQ is extremely important to your success. Daniel Goleman is kind of the godfather of modern emotional intelligence. He wrote this book, Emotional Intelligence, in the 90s, and it has helped spawn a whole emotional intelligence industry. And he breaks emotional intelligence down into four core competencies that you see: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management. I borrowed these from his website. These were used in part of a promotional video, so for some courses that he has. So by all means, check it out. And I hope he doesn't mind me using these here today. And we're going to be focusing on, because it's such a vast, vast topic, on these key areas today, and really doing some skill building in these areas: emotional self-awareness, leading into self-management, and also empathy. And empathy, really, we'll see, really does have an effect on all these areas. But this is where we're going today. Before we dig in a little bit more deeply, I want to cover just a couple quick myths around emotions, because we often have this feeling like, I should leave my emotions at the door when I walk into the workplace. They don't have a place, and I can cut myself off from my emotions. And as you've probably experienced, it's just not possible. We are who we are, whether we're outside work or inside work. And so myth number one, self-control comes from stifling feelings. Well, what happens when you try to stifle a feeling? You know, I'm sure from experience, the more you try and say, don't be mad, or don't cry, or you ever tell a kid, okay, don't cry, don't be upset, what happens? The emotion gets bigger and can overwhelm us. So self-control doesn't come from suppressing the feelings, it comes from recognizing, learning from, and utilizing the feelings. And emotion myth number two, there are good and bad emotions. And during the webinar, a little bit later, I'm going to be talking about what I call negative and positive feelings. But that doesn't mean I'm saying good and bad. I'm saying feelings that you would rather have or rather not have. But all feelings are positive because they can give us some great information. They deliver, as it says here, messages we need to hear. So, earlier on, remember at the top of the webinar, I said, how are you doing? Well, this time I want you to approach this question a little bit differently. When we ask somebody, how are you doing? We say that everybody says, fine, great, I'm good, and that's cool, that's fine, because we need to have this sort of social agreement that we're just checking in really quickly, and we're saying, I'm fine, and we move on, and that's fine. But what's really important, whether or not you choose to share that information in that moment, and if we did share that information all the time, when would we have time for lunch, right? And so we need to manage that. But whether or not you choose to share that information at the time, the important thing is for you to know, to have some mechanism or practice to help you understand how you are really doing at any given moment. And just to demonstrate this, Liz, if you're still there, you want to ask me how I'm doing?
Larry, how are you doing?
Liz, thank you so much for asking. Well, one moment. So the truth is, Liz, I'm feeling a combination of relaxed and at the same time excited and a sense of joy and a tinge of nervousness, but not as much as I expected, not as much as I had, I think, at the beginning of the webinar. Now, what I just did, I call checking in, and it's a way of having a better sense as to what is happening with me at the moment. And I checked in. I got a sense as to how I'm doing. And there's a lot I can do with that information. And we'll talk about that in a second. But before that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just practice a little check-in. I'm going to make the screen go blue. And you can, however you wish, close your eyes, take a look at the blue screen. And if you would, just turn your awareness, your focus inward for a moment. And see if you can recognize and name to yourself how you're really doing right now. How are you really feeling? You may want to take a couple deep, low breaths in order to bring in a sense of focus and calm so you can get at the information you want to get at. But see if you can take a moment to see how you're really feeling. And whatever you're getting is good. You might be identifying positive, more positive feelings, more negative feelings, emptiness. It's all okay. It's all helpful information. How are you doing? And can you name it to yourself? Typically, when I'm working with a group or with an individual, I'll give them a lot more time for this, and I'll walk them through more. But for the purposes of this webinar, we'll abbreviate this a little bit. But I would like to know what you found. There's a lot more going on back there than, hey, I'm fine, all good, thumbs up, smiley, happy face. And whatever you're finding, whether it's something you want to be feeling, rather not be feeling, it's really helpful information. We're going to take a look at what we're doing with this. I mentioned the words I call checking in, or you can think of this as also, this is self-awareness. And there's a lot of benefits to this. So I wrote here, awareness gives you information about how you're responding to whatever's going on in your life at the moment. And this could be things that are happening right now in this moment, say in this webinar, but I think it's also, as you've discovered, it could be related to things that are going on in the background, some more bigger picture things that you're experiencing. So what are you going to do with this? How is this helpful? Well, first of all, awareness just in and of itself helps us manage the emotion. I don't know if any of you experienced this just in this exercise, but you may have noticed that just by naming the emotion, by saying, yeah, I'm aware of it, I'm going to put a name on it, it gives you a better ability to get a handle on it, to have it not affect you and as much, perhaps, and to keep it from sort of running and perhaps sabotaging you in the background. Just naming the fact, oh, I'm nervous, I'm anxious, helps you manage that emotion better and keeps it more maintained. And then second and third, awareness helps us make better choices, and it's the first step of making a change. We're going to see how we can use this information that you just found by checking in on your emotions, using your emotional intelligence to make changes and make good choices. Let's do some, and let's look at what I call reflective emotional intelligence. First of all, we have feelings. Again, I said that there's no such thing as a good or bad feeling, but there are feelings that we'd rather have or rather not have. And what are some of the negative feelings that you might have that you've sometimes experienced in the workplace? Frustration, anger, impotence, drain, frustration, jealousy, stress, misunderstanding. Good. These are all very valid and important feelings. These are all things that come up in the workplace. Are we going to ignore them, say they don't belong there? No. Insecurity, unappreciated, frustration. Right. Very valid feelings. Now, we can ignore them or we can learn from them. We can use our emotional intelligence. They can tell us that they're great signs to say, you know what, something is likely out of alignment with what we need at the moment, with the things that give us a sense of satisfaction, of fulfillment, of being our full best selves. There's something out of alignment with our needs, and we should get curious about that. And it can help us motivate some changes. For example, let me take you down this change model here that I created. Let's say that with our self-awareness, we're checking in, and we find that we, after a phone call with a client, we're feeling some sense of frustration. Well, we can ignore it, and we can just leap into, just plow through it and keep going on with our day and our work lives. And typically, if that mounts up, we're going to get these feelings that you stated. Anxiousness, stress, depression, physical stuff showing up in our bodies, etc., that we know are manifestations of something deeper. So what I'm going to recommend is that when you are aware through checking in or some other ways that there's some kind of frustration going on, like after this client call, that you get curious about it, that you ask questions of yourself. You say, hey, what's going on here? What is causing this feeling of anxiety or tension after this client call? And, you know, it may be that you had a bad connection, you couldn't hear them well, but it may be that it was a kind of work that you've been doing for a long time that you no longer find fulfilling. And that is building stress in you. And recognizing that can be a real gift because it can help you think about perhaps what other choices you have in that specific situation or perhaps in the bigger picture. Perhaps if this type of work is no longer fulfilling, perhaps this doesn't mean you have to change jobs, but maybe you can, this will help you set your sights on taking on different kinds of projects or shifting roles. Or maybe, again, if it's not a bigger picture thing, it's something specific with this client, maybe there's a communication thing that needs to be worked out. Maybe there's incomplete information. All this is triggered through your self-awareness. So what other choices might you have in this situation? And that, of course, can spur action and change so that you can get what you need and what you want so you can be your best professional self. But it all starts here with self-awareness, with being aware of what's going on in you, using your emotional intelligence to spur this process of inquiry so that you can ultimately get what you want and be how you need to be in this professional setting, and also in your bigger life as well. Now, we can do the same kind of reflective emotional intelligence for positive emotions that we're experiencing. And let's look at the bright side. What are the positive feelings that we sometimes feel in the workplace? Proud community, pride in our work, being helpful, yes, a sense of fun, excitement, satisfaction that you're valued, achievement, inspired, accomplishment. Right. These are all terrific emotions that we can feel in the workplace. They make us feel good. You know what? These are signs as well that things are going on that are meeting our needs, either in the immediate or the bigger picture. So when you're feeling these kind of emotions, I want you to think about, yeah, let's keep this up. Whatever it is that is making this happen, keep it up. What other opportunities can I find to get these needs met? Because the more fulfilled we are in our work, the more productive we are, and you know, so the better we do, the more our careers will advance, the rewards will come. That's how you can use your emotional intelligence. Let's go back to that model again and think about a time, let's say you come home from work and you are feeling really that sense of achievement, the sense of accomplishment. You're really kind of flying. sometimes we get these feelings from checking in or otherwise, not really sure where they're coming from, even the good ones. So let's say you use the same process and you're feeling great, it's after work, and so get curious about that. Ask questions of yourself. What was it today that was different? What did I do that may have brought on that sense of accomplishment? And maybe it was the fact that your supervisor asked you to get involved in the new social media campaign. You'd never really had a hand on that before. And something about that, whether it was being creative, whether it was digging into tech for the first time at work in ways that you hadn't been able to before, whatever it is, it really charged you. So I want you to be aware of that. So the idea is, especially over here, when it's a positive emotion, how can I get more of that? What other opportunities can I find to get some of that same need met? To either maybe it's expanding social media, or maybe if I label the fact that it was about being creative, maybe I can find other aspects, projects of my work where I can be more creative so I can feel more fulfilled and be my best at work. That's using your emotional intelligence, starting with self-awareness, getting curious about why I'm feeling so good, thinking about other opportunities, then taking advantage of those opportunities, making them happen, speaking with supervisors, changing things on your team, etc., so you can get that change. In this sense, it's leveraging more, getting more. You can use this change model and take a photo of it with your phone, take a screenshot. I think it's something that you can apply to all sorts of experiences that you're having, and it does start with self-awareness. That's emotional intelligence. Helps you see how you can get what you want, be who you want to be in a professional setting and also outside of work as well. So let's do a little exercise here. Let's put this into action for you. More reflective emotional intelligence. And see, I'm going to invite you to take a moment to write on your paper about a time that you had a negative feeling at work, some of those, you know, one of those emotions that you identified earlier on. And see if you can really break it down. Let's use that investigative change model that we were looking at before, these parts of it, with what was that emotion? What were you feeling? And when did that happen? How did you respond, and did you respond perhaps in a way that you would rather not have done? A lot of times when we're feeling something, it clouds our judgment when we're feeling negative feelings and we don't process it with our emotional intelligence. So how did you respond? And finally, could you have made a more emotionally intelligent choice, or what other options do you have if this happens again? What would you do differently? I hope you're taking an opportunity, and that you have both worked ahead of me, but to Write down a case, because this is, again, applying your emotional intelligence to help you get the kind of outcomes that you want in the workplace. And especially if you're getting the gift of a negative feeling, of a negative emotion that we might call, remember, feelings are not good or bad, but it feels more negative, then how can you use that information to help you be how you want to be and get what you want in a professional setting? So, do I suggest you do this as a daily practice? Absolutely. And you can do it several times every hour. It's interesting. I do recommend that you check in, you know, that checking in that I did and that we walked through a little bit, about three times a day, at least, morning to see what you're starting the day with, and before lunch to see what has happened to you in that first half of the day that you might want to learn from, process. Especially before you come home at night, especially for those of you who have partners, spouses, you know, other social interactions, that so you know before you come home that you know what's going on in you, you know, so that you can say, it's not you, honey, it's the Jenkins project. I know that that's really true, and help also make adjustments so that you can be how you want to be and not carry things over. So more emotionally intelligent choices, I just mean the choice that you would have made, that you can make to come into that, to be in that situation the way you want to be. Often when we react on a negative feeling, it changes our behavior in ways that perhaps we're not so proud of, or maybe we're just ignoring something. So how can you use that information to make the emotionally intelligent choice, which is, it means I'm using my emotions, paying attention to them, and seeing if I can recognize what's going on and perhaps do something different for me so I can feel the way I need to feel and be the way I need to be. I want to point out that this number four is the toughest part of this exercise. Because often we see no other choices. I'm feeling this way, I respond this way, I'm stuck, I don't know what else to do. And this is where coaches, mentors, partners, people who you know and trust, talking it out with somebody else can really help you process and see new options. Because this is tough. These are things that are showing up deeply. Please take this model and apply this to negative feelings, but also you can apply this to positive feelings so you can leverage them. What were you feeling? When was that? And instead of how did you respond, it might be, the question here might be, what opportunities do you have to get more of that so you can continue to grow, feel fulfilled, be highly productive, because that you know when you're feeling positive feelings, things are working for you and you want to capitalize on that. Want to shift from the more reflective emotional intelligence to what we might call emotional intelligence in the moment, right? This is when you're recognizing something's going on and you need to respond in an emotionally intelligent way, right there in the moment. It's helpful to recognize the things that set you off. What are your triggers? Things that just get a rise out of you at work. And these are probably things that happen on a pretty regular basis. So what are those things that, well, it could be an interruption, unfairness, people coming in unannounced, scolding, disrespect, gossip. The more you recognize that these things are your triggers, the more you recognize what your triggers are, the more ready you'll be to respond in an emotionally intelligent manner. Because you'll say, oh, here's a trigger. Boom, okay, now what am I going to do about it? Okay, so we'll take a look at that in just a second. Know your triggers. Know what sets you off. You'll be able to manage those situations better in the moment. So here's the next question I have for you. What are your signals? My deep gratification to the robot from Lost in Space, the warning, danger, Will Robinson. How do you know that you're having an emotional response to something? What are the warning signs that you have? Usually physiological, that it's telling you that something's going on that you need to pay attention to. For me, I feel this kind of tightness in my chest, right? Especially when I'm dealing with my kids, and I know I might do something and I say something that I shouldn't. These are the warning signs. Remember that robot, if you're a certain age, or YouTube, it's a danger, Will Robinson. Our bodies are always sending us signals, and oftentimes they fall on deaf ears. But when you use your emotional intelligence, these are great signs to help you be who you want to be and handle these situations in the way that you want to handle them. So let's take a look at this process. Let's break it down a little bit, this EI in the moment. This is where bringing in the pause that refreshes. It's an old Coca-Cola jingle or motto from probably 100 years ago. But taking a pause in these moments can not only refresh, but perhaps save your career. Usually, we go from what? Trigger, something sets us off, to action. Or, more accurately, reaction. Stimulus, response. It's lizard brain kicking in, for those of you who study brain physiology, right? And that's not too a very official term. But it's our emotions bypassing our sense of reasoning. And instead, in order to be who you want to be and be the professional and be the leader that you want to be, if you can take the trigger, be aware of what your signal is, and I'm glad we did this exercise so you can go, oh yeah, here's the thing. I see my heart is raising, or my heartbeat's increasing, my jaw is clenching. Warning sign, pause, break. Step away, breathe, practice it now, guys. Anything that you can to create some space so you can reevaluate, think clearly. It may just be a breath in the moment. You may need to actually walk away from the situation. You may need to agree to come back to this situation tomorrow to get more perspective. Do come back to the situation. That's the emotionally intelligent response. But this break in between the trigger and the response can save your career. It can keep you from doing things like this, right? Somebody yells at you, you take it, and then what do? Just like, we get it, and then, yeah, we do scream at someone. Some innocent victim who has just walked into our office to see what we want to do for lunch, and they take it because we got it from here, and we didn't put the pause in here to process the emotion, to manage it, to become aware of it, and turn ourselves around so that we can be who we want to be and be the professional we want to be in the situations that we're faced with at work. Let's try this in real time. You see that traffic? Imagine you're stuck in it. You're that last car, and you can hear the traffic blaring, the horns are going like crazy, and that very next exit is where you have to be for the most important meeting of the year, and you are already 5 minutes late, and there's no way you're going to make it in time, and everyone's honking around you, and you can feel your heart rate raising, and you're thinking about this meeting and how it's all gone, it's going to be shot, and how you'll never be there in time, and you want to be able to get to that meeting when you do show up the way you need to be so you can be most effective. So before you get there, now do this with me. Take a breath. Collect yourself. Take a few deep breaths. Feel your heartbeat. If you're aware of your heartbeat, there's a good chance that awareness can help it lower, even here, at this moment. Let some of the stress go, so that you can drive those last few hundred feet, transitioning from that stressful place to the person that you want to and need to be so that you can be at your most effective best whenever you show up at that meeting and not carry over that stress into this situation. Were you able to, did this work? Did you feel some stress? And then were you able to let some of it go in that moment, in that 20 seconds that we took to make that transition? I'd be curious if this exercise actually worked for you. Did I get your blood pressure up a little bit at first, and then were you able to make that transition? The trick is remembering this in the moment. And the more you practice this, it's just like anything else, like a sport or anything. The more you practice it, the more natural it will become. So I'm going to recommend, as I said before, check in on a regular basis. Remind yourself. Remind yourself, you know, watch the webinar again, or write down your triggers and your signals so that you can go, oh, signal, I'm going to do something about it, as opposed to just react, as opposed to just plow forward. That's how to leverage your emotional intelligence. Got another quick story for you. One day I went to go pick up my kids from preschool. This was a little while ago. And I noticed two of the teachers there in the middle of an argument. Patty, who was a senior teacher, and Miriam, who was her assistant. And these two women that were close friends, they've been working together for probably 15 or 20 years. Patty was the boss, and Patty is saying to Miriam, here's what I hear. Patty is saying, all I know is that I asked you to wash out those paintbrushes, and now the paint is dried on and caked on and can't use them, and I know I asked you to wash out those paintbrushes. And Miriam is just standing there with, like, tears practically in her eyes, looking totally dumbfounded, just saying, I don't know what happened. I don't remember. Well, and Patty says, well, I clearly said I wanted you to do it. It was one thing. It was a simple thing. And I needed it done, and it didn't get done. And Miriam said, I'm sorry. I don't know. Well, all I know is it didn't get done, says Patty. And she breaks off, and she leaves the room. And for weeks, their relationship, I noticed, is tainted, is damaged. Clearly, something was going on with both of those women. Miriam's response was far beyond, both of their responses was far beyond paintbrushes. Miriam was clearly distressed to me about something much bigger that Patty wasn't picking up on. Everyone's empathy shields or sensors were way, way down in this situation. empathy, the ability to see things from another person's point of view, to read other people, to feel what others were feeling. There was something going on in that situation between Patty and Miriam that was far beyond what was presenting, and neither of them could see it, and it damaged their professional relationship. I had an acting teacher, Joanna Gleason, who was a wonderful acting teacher and a Broadway legend, and she once said that people rarely fight about the thing they're fighting about. Think about that. Think about an altercation you've been in recently, a little argument or something at work or at home. It's usually about something that's going on at a deeper level, and that's where empathy comes in, that ability to read what's going on in somebody else. And imagine if Patty, the boss, had said to Miriam, instead of cutting off the situation and walking out and storming out, had observed that Miriam was totally out of sorts and responding in a way that showed that there was really something else going on. And if Patty had instead said, use her own emotional intelligence to say, you know what, first of all, I noticed I'm getting really riled up here. Let me take a breath. And then said to Miriam, using Patty's emotional intelligence, would have said to her, you know what, this really isn't like you. Or I noticed that there's something else going on here. What's up? What's going on? Anything I can help with? Imagine how the relationship would have been preserved, how the damage would not have been done, how the relationship would have even been strengthened. That's the mark of a leader, to read your people, to support your people, to lead them in the way that they need to be led at the moment, using your empathy skills, using your reading of other people's skills. There's so many benefits of empathy, and it's a key facet of emotional intelligence. There's a long list of them here, and they do affect these other areas on that far side of Goleman's chart. But being able to read other people better, get a sense of what's going on with them, helps you with your relationships, your decision-making, your communication, your listening, better understand other cultures and values, which is extremely important in the workplace today. Being attuned to what's going on with other people is key, and it's a key facet of emotional intelligence. And I'd like to invite you to do a quick empathy exercise yourself here. And to just help build that muscle, just like anything else, it's something that we can practice. So work ahead here. Take out your pen and paper. And I'd like you to think about a time, and this is why I'm challenging you here, because this is how it's difficult. When we have felt wronged or disrespected, or we get the pasta thrown at us, write a sentence that fills in the blanks. Maybe whoever it was did whatever they did because blank. See if you can put yourself in the other person's place. Now, you don't have to agree with them. It doesn't make what they did right. There's a difference between empathy and sympathy. But just that attempt to see from another person's perspective can help you build this muscle and will help you become a stronger leader. And you know what? You don't even have to get it right. You don't have to guess right. Just the act of empathizing, of trying to understand where somebody else is coming from, helps you connect, helps you be a more effective leader, helps you stay in the game as opposed to doing something that you might regret, helps you preserve relationships. So Romy, the sous chef, wasn't throwing pasta at me every day. Yes, our relationship was damaged. I didn't feel comfortable, and we were never as close as we were before. But just by me thinking, you know, what was up with Romy that day, helped me be able to be in that space with him again and get what I wanted, which was continuing in a job that was helpful to me in that time of my life. And I hope that you will continue to use this exercise to leverage your emotional intelligence to see what is happening with other people, either retrospectively or especially in the moment. We talked about this. In the moment, it's super important to empathize, to notice what's going on with other people in conversation, especially conversations or interactions that feel charged, that feel more emotional. So often we notice the wrong things in communication. We stay so focused on words, on content, but studies show that a vast part of the message, sometimes the most important parts of someone's message, comes across in things like their tone of voice, their mood, and especially their body language. What are you picking up? That information can help you make better choices in situations when you are in communication, in interaction with other people. So think back, actually. Do you remember when I was telling my Romy story at the very beginning when the pasta got thrown at me? Can you think back? Do you remember what my tone of voice was or what my mood was, or if you could see even some of my body language? How was I beyond my word? What was going on beyond my language? How did I sound to you? What did I sound like? What was my mood even in telling this story? I noticed for myself that my language got faster, that my voice got higher when I was more upset. I could feel my gestures were more expressive. When you're seeing these kind of things from somebody else, know that there's something going on. Know that there is an emotional response happening in somebody, and being aware of emotions in others will help you be the leader you want to be, so you can take appropriate responses in those situations. And you're also helping make me aware of how maybe what I saw in Romy at that time as well. Right, he was rigid. His face was stone-faced. I knew there was danger coming. I just didn't know what the end danger was going to be. Notice, and take this forward with you, notice beyond just the content of what you're being given, especially in face-to-face conversation. The tone, the mood, the body language will help you become a stronger communicator, a stronger leader. This is our wrap-up. We're going to have questions in a moment, but IQ, EQ, they're both extremely important. And as you've demonstrated, and hopefully you've experienced, EQ, your emotions at work and other people's emotions at work, are extremely important. They live there, you can't make them go away, so leverage them. Use them to your advantage to learn, grow, manage other people, interact more positively, build relationships. All those things that we listed at the top of the webinar about things that we want to see in other people joining our team, they're all things that emotional intelligence have a bearing on. And again, the good news is you can grow and practice them. And I hope that this experience helped you pick up some new skills and also get you more curious about this wonderful and vast topic of emotional intelligence. Here are a few resources for you, and there are so many, but just a few of my favorite. Daniel Goleman, who I mentioned before, he has books on emotional intelligence. He's got a great LinkedIn presence if you follow him, and a website. Also on LinkedIn is the Emotional Intelligence Network, the LinkedIn group that are great discussions and resources and ideas and articles on emotional intelligence. Tom Henschel is a Los Angeles-based executive coach and communications expert. He has a terrific podcast and blog, and he talks a lot about emotional intelligence in his podcasts and other leadership acumen. And one that he had recently, just about a month ago, was called The Human Element, and there are many others. And then I mentioned that there are emotional intelligence assessments, and this is a website that you can go to by the Emotional Intelligence Consortium, and they have actually evaluated different measures. So if you're looking at bringing this more formally into, say, the workplace, and then leveraging that information, those may be ways to go. So I want to say thanks. Thank you for participating, for putting all that you did into it, for sharing of yourselves and going into places that perhaps you don't usually go in a webinar, and I invite you to stay in touch. To continue the conversation, to ask me questions, here's my contact info. On my website, there's a newsletter and a blog and something I call Career Hacks, which are quick, unconventional videos on career advice and advancing your career. And if you want to really continue the conversation with me, that you can schedule with me a free breakthrough session, a free consulting session for executive coaching or career coaching, and I will help you move things forward, even in that conversation. And if you happen to engage more deeply, I want to let you know that for webinar participants, I'm offering 10% off all my coaching packages through the end of the month. And that's all I have for the moment. We've got a little bit of time before the top of the hour.
Larry, thank you so much. One question that came in was whether you have any tips on how to advise employees who routinely make poor emotional choices.
Yes, I think that the process that we went through today in terms of helping them to recognize the moments when they're happening, if we just kind of lay out, you're doing this and you know you shouldn't do this anymore, I think we need to kind of help them get deeper. So I would actually advise them to help them see the signs of when this is about to happen. I'm working with an executive now, and we're working on helping him consistently recognize what his triggers are. And you know, that's a first step, for example. Help them recognize when they're having these responses, and really the trick is always to create that space. So really take them through the process that we went through today. Recognize the moments and practice creating that space and help them physically do that. Help them feel what it's like to then take that breath, to do whatever they need to do to make space in between emotional response and reaction. It's a first step, but I think it's a really important one. And then, you know, coaching them to what the more emotionally intelligent responses can be would be helpful. Now, in coaching, you want them to come with the ideas as much as possible. You want to ask them questions that can say, hey, think about this interaction that you just had. Is there anything that you might do differently next time were this to happen again? You want to take that kind of approach as opposed to just simply laying out the answers and solutions for them. So I hope that those are some initial steps that that could be helpful to you.
Great, Larry. Thank you. Do you have time for one more?
Sure. Let's do one more.
Okay. Could you recommend resources for promoting empathy in society?
Wow. Resources for promoting empathy in society. You know, I think what's really good at promoting empathy in society is when we get to sort of the spiritual side of ourselves. That could be a religious practice, that could be yoga, that could be anything that helps us kind of tap in to our experience beneath kind of the day-to-day noise. And into practices that are, you know, again, meditation may be one. So, but to practices that are focused more on being good in the world, around taking care of other people. So everybody who's listening will have potentially a different resource for that speaks to them personally. And it may be something that you've been away from for a while. But anything that enables you that as part of its practice, because it's sometimes hard to do these things on our own, but there are a lot of practices out there that have empathy built in as a standard, perhaps as its most important standard, and seek those out. So I hope that's a helpful idea. Great question.
Thank you, Larry. That's a great response to that question. So that's going to wrap up our webinar for today. We'd like to thank everyone for being with us. And Larry, thank you so much for your expertise. This was a very helpful webinar, very informative, and many good points, many good questions as well.
Very good. Thanks, everybody.